Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If somebody is hitting on your girlfriend, your wife, do you actually say something? What if it's John Travolta? You just like punch him in the face? Like what happens in a situation like that?
Oh, I mean, John Travolta's over like 70 years old at this point. So if he's hitting on my wife, I'm probably going to give him a pass. Mm. Everybody's got to consider their options as well. Like, listen, if she wants to leave me for John Travolta, who am I to compete with that? All right. I've seen a lot of his movies. He's a very talented guy. If she doesn't choose me, what am I going to do?
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, I don't know. There's something about this that seemed, I don't know, a little creepy. So John Travolta is seriously in love with Margot Robbie. He says in an interview that's going to be coming out next week, "Oh my God, one can only dream. I just love her." And, you know, that sounds like fine, kind of fine off the, you know, yeah. You're like, all right, yeah, like, no big deal. All right. Okay, now keep in mind she's married. She's 100% married, Margot Robbie, and she's currently pregnant with her first child. He goes on to say, she is just gorgeous, just breathtaking. She loves and wanted to be a pilot, and that's one of his love languages because he loves that too. If you were in that situation, Raven, you wouldn't be like, hey, dude, like back off a little bit?
I mean, take it for what it is, right? He's in Australia. It's an Australian show that's talking to him. She's Australian. He's giving them what they want, right? A little bit of, hey, your exports are so fantastic. Your people are so talented. I'd love to work with her. And of course, there's that Olivia Newton-John history there, too.
Wait a minute.
Also Australian.
Did you call Margot Robbie an export? Is that what you call her?
I mean, like, listen, she's here. And you know what I believe, too, that all Australian actors live together in one house in Los Angeles. Kind of like
true.
The real world.
Right, I've heard that.
But that's what he's doing. He's giving them what they want.
I don't know. I think it's a little bit over the line. John, what do you think? You're with somebody, and this guy just keeps talking about how hot and gorgeous your wife is, who happens to be pregnant.
I think if the guy is 70 years old, and my wife is currently pregnant with my child at that time, I'm probably not that worried about it.
Yeah, you feel pretty secure.
Even if it's John Travolta, right? You know?
But 70 in Hollywood and 35 is certainly no big deal. Like that's like every day.
Yeah, but like 35 it's kind of okay. I think at any age you're at, it's kind of okay to gush over a woman who's 35 years old. Like if John Travolta was doing this with like a 20-year-old, like Tate McRae or something like that, that would be weird.
Sean?
You know, on any normal basis, I trust Rachel to do the right thing. And, you know, she doesn't need me to jump in and white knight it for her. But this is John Travolta, man. He's associated with Scientology. I have to step in and stop that from happening.
Right.
God forbid she gets with him and all of a sudden my son's a Scientologist. Nope, not on my watch.
All right, let's take out the fact that it's John Travolta. And there's just this guy in your neighborhood who thinks your wife, your girlfriend, is so hot. And every time he has a chance to talk to somebody about her, he's like, yeah. Yeah, she's my dream girl and all that. You still cool? You still don't say anything?
No, and that happened to me pretty recently, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
how'd you handle that?
It was her parents' landlord, too. Oh. Yeah, no, true story. I called him little guy, and I told him to calm down.
Yeah. Was he 70?
No, he was my age.
Oh, all right. Yeah, how did he take that?
Well, I had 6 inches on him, so he took it pretty well.
Who knew there was so much hype around the third date when you're meeting somebody new? So you may or may have not heard of the third date rule. This kind of was made famous by Sex and the City a million years ago. Mm. And then all the experts started agreeing with the show, okay. And it kind of became commonplace.
The rule.
Yeah. And it says, according to the 3-date rule, it is best to wait 3 dates before becoming physical with a potential partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
I think a lot of people, you're right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people might have that in mind, but when they meet somebody that they're, you know, truly into, sometimes things move a little bit quicker.
Yeah. Or slower, or definitely slower.
Could be.
Too.
Yep. There's
Absolutely.
Those two. Yep.
Yeah. But intimacy isn't the only reason why you should be terrified of your third date.
Right.
Because if you're like kind of person that likes transparency, you're going to be really into this. But if you're like me where you're like, let's take it slow. I don't know. Let me feel it out. This is terrifying. Mm. eHarmony came out with a list of the 3 things that should happen on your third date.
Okay.
These are all things that you should disclose.
I mean, they're supposed to be experts too, so okay.
Number 1, what both your goals are for the relationship. I just can't imagine the third date.
Seems like a lot.
Right. Being like, so we get married.
Right.
Like, maybe not today.
Right.
But like in a year.
Four kids, five kids, well, no kids.
Right.
What? Yeah.
The second thing are whether your values are compatible. Do you believe in the same things? And you have to be comfortable enough to ask the tough questions. On the third date, you're going to be like, what religion are you?
Right. God, politics, everything.
We're going to raise our kids like that? You're like, I thought we were going to go see Beetlejuice this weekend. Right. I don't understand.
I thought we were going to a fair or something. Yeah. We were going to have fun this weekend. Right. Okay.
And then the third thing that eHarmony says that you should always do on your third date is ask them, are we going to continue seeing each other? And I'm like, well, maybe if you go through those first two questions, that answer will become very obvious.
Right. It'll already be settled at that point. You know, I think that the third one makes some sense. It's like, okay, so like, you know, you could say that I like you by the third date, right? Like, I'm into you. Like, this is working, right? And so, you know, let's get together and hang out more. But there are certain things that, you know, by the third date, I probably want to know about the other person. Anna.
Like what?
Well, do you live with your parents? Right?
Good one.
Yeah. Like, are you in the basement? Mm-hmm. Like, what's that status there?
Yeah. I want to know, are you driving your mom's car when you come pick me up?
Yeah. And you know what? As soon as I know whether or not, you know, it's a funny thing about when somebody divulges that they're living with their parents or whatever, they'll tell you, you'll know almost in that first sentence whether they plan on doing it the rest of their life or whether it's like, you know, emergency thing. You're like, I had to go back. That's different than, oh, yeah, my mom makes the best meatloaf and she's my best friend, which is, you know, it's great if she is your best friend, but, you know, you don't necessarily have to live with her the rest of your life.
Right.
Also, if you have a 525 credit score, that would be good to know.
That's a big one too. Like, yeah. I was surprised this didn't show up because I know that's a lot of issues with people. When you start dating somebody, you get into them and you find out they've got like $250,000 of debt.
Right.
Yeah. Like that,
three bankruptcies.
Yeah.
Right. A house in foreclosure.
Oh, right. You're like, wait a minute.
Because you're taking on a whole lot there if you're continuing on with that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, if I Google you and it lists nothing but felonies. Or if you've ever had another name.
Or have done jail time.
Yeah. I'm going to need to know those things.
Right away. See, these should be the three things on the eHarmony list. You don't need to worry about whether your values are compatible. That's not till the fourth.
This is truly useful information.
Yeah. If you were thinking, wait a minute, weren't the Emmys just on? You would be correct. This is the second Emmys of the year. They had the first set in January because of last year's Hollywood strike. So here you go. All the winners you need in 23 seconds. Ready, go.
I love it.
For lead actor in a comedy series.
Jeremy Allen White, The Bear.
For lead actress in a comedy series.
The amazing Jean Smart.
For lead actor in a drama series.
Hiroyuki Sanada.
For lead actress in a drama series.
Anna Sawai, Shogun.
Drama series.
Shogun.
For outstanding comedy series.
Hacks.
Okay, there you go. Now, here's the thing. You probably haven't heard of half these shows because there's too many streaming services now.
Shogun was gorgeous. AMC.
I've never watched Shogun. I didn't even know. When I was watching it last night and I was like, what is Shogun? I had to go Google it and find out that it was on FX and all these things. I had no idea. No clue.
Really, really good. AMC, fantastic show. Gorgeous cinematography. Gorgeous.
And here's a problem I have with Hacks. Hacks is also a brilliant show. It's comedy. It's very, very funny. The problem is, it's the same problem I have with everything. They take so long in between seasons that I forget. And then I don't watch the new season because I don't have time to rewatch the entire old season.
Yeah, even. I never heard of Hacks. I never saw it.
Oh, Hacks is funny. But it's the same thing like Shogun. Yeah. I never heard of Shogun. Hacks to me is like, yeah, that's been around a long time. That's a funny show. So I think the problem is that we're so disconnected because we're all watching such different things. And when you watch these award shows, half the time, you don't know. You don't know who these shows are.
Yeah, you know, it's a good problem to have in some ways, though, because it is kind of like the golden age of television. There's a lot of good TV right now. There really is. There's a lot of great creations.
But what is always interesting to me is who hosts. Mm. And the father-son duo of Eugene and Dan Levy hosted the Emmys last night. Here's part of their monologue.
A little bit of history here. Emmy history. The very first Emmys host in 1949 was Walter O'Keefe.
That's true. And tonight we are making Emmy history as the very first father-son pair to mention Walter O'Keefe since 1949.
They're cute. I mean,
they're both very funny. Yeah. Eugene was always funny. Great deadpan humor. And Dan is fantastic.
But who really stole the show? Okay, despite that all of them were nominated for Only Murders in the Building, Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez Not one of them won anything. But maybe I'm biased because I'm such a fan of the show. Mm. They were so funny. Listen.
Hi, I'm Selena Gomez.
And I'm Steve Martin.
And I'm Martin.
And what an exciting night to be here at the Emmys.
Emmy Awards. What a magical evening it's been trying to remember people's names.
And pretending that we've seen their shows. And Steve, let me just say what an honor it is for me to be working with someone who looks like he's fallen and can't get up.
And let me say what an honor it is for me to be working with someone who looks like a former women's tennis champion.
I just love them. And I know that Martin Short, I think, is on tour right now doing some comedy. But like, if the three of them did a show together and took it on the road,
yeah,
it'd be massive.
I mean, you're a huge fan of their show.
I am.
So, as you said, you may be a little biased.
I can't wait till tomorrow when the new episode drops. I guess that's true. When's the last time you went to go make a doctor's appointment? And then all of a sudden, you're like, yeah, I'd like to come in. And they're like, great, we have some availability in about 3 years. Mm. And you're like, what is going on?
It's crazy when you try and be a new patient right now, especially when you're reaching out to a specialist. You're looking at like 4 months at least. That initial appointment. It's
yes.
crazy.
Yeah. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, you know, this has become a serious issue. I was watching it all over the news this weekend, is that it's become so difficult to get an appointment with your doctor. They're booking so far in advance. So what people are doing is they're going to AI. They're going to ChatGPT, and they're trying to self-diagnose themselves. It's like WebMD all over again, except you're letting the robots tell you what's wrong.
Good.
So, doesn't seem like a good idea.
Seems safe, right?
Right. Mm.
Gives them knowledge of our physiology, too. It's not good. It isn't good.
All right. Conspiracy person. All right.
There's a rabbit hole.
Right. So, what I did is I had the guys send me a question that they would ask about their current medical condition. And then I went to ChatGPT to see what it said should be their resolution and what their problem was.
This could be embarrassing. I forgot what I even sent you.
Okay.
I think I sent like 5 options. I don't know what we're doing.
John, you wrote, how do I wake up without my lower back hurting?
Oh, it's so bad. It happens all the time now.
It says, waking up without lower back pain often involves making adjustments to your sleep habits and posture. Here's what to do. 1, sleep on your side. And if you sleep on your side, sleep on your back.
How do you change your sleep posture, though? Because I've tried sleeping on my back. I'm a side sleeper. I've tried the back.
Oh, here's the answer. 2, use pillows for support. If you're a back sleeper, place a pillow under your knees to help maintain the natural curve of your spine. Or the opposite if you sleep the other way. So you got to basically prop yourself with pillows.
Okay, so what it's saying is whatever I'm doing, do the other thing.
Right.
Correct.
Great job, robot.
Right.
Yeah,
thank you, robots.
You go. Also, get a better mattress. And stretch before bed and after waking up.
Okay, so just be better in general. Just be better.
Yeah.
That's what the robot says.
And stretch.
Good.
All right, Raven, you said, is it okay to have so much neck pain that you can no longer turn your head to the right?
Watch this. That's as far as
you're
I
like. You're like the old Batman.
Watch this one.
Movies.
I can go over here. Look at that. I got better rotation over here. Oh, gosh. And I feel it when I turn back.
Having neck pain so severe that you can't turn your head to one side is definitely a sign of something isn't right.
Thanks.
Extreme pain and restricted movement could be caused by several issues. There's so many issues here, Raven.
Oh, boy.
It says poor posture.
Yep.
Muscle strain.
Okay.
Tension or stress.
Got all those.
Pinched nerve.
Probably.
Cervical disc injury.
Definitely.
Whiplash.
Nah, I doubt that one, but.
Infection or inflammation.
I mean, sure, why not, I guess, right?
Possible meningitis.
Hope not.
No. So I think what this was saying is, no, you have to wait to go see a real doctor because there's a lot of problems with you.
Thanks, robots.
Speaking of the robots, Raven, Sean sent me this.
Mm.
I'm 34 and my metabolism hasn't slowed down yet. Is that normal or do I just have a tapeworm? Sean, is that something you actually lose sleep about?
A little bit, yeah. It's like, you guys don't understand what it's like being me, okay?
Oh.
I'm a black hole, and a lot of my money goes to food because I just keep eating and eating and eating and eating, and I don't gain anything.
Oh, really? Mm. Wow, dude, do you have to eat, like, every day? Gosh, that's tough, man. Would have no idea what that's like to need to eat to survive. Also, you're 35.
He's not 35 until Friday.
Is your birthday this Friday?
Got a good metabolism.
All right. And it says, it's perfectly normal for metabolism to vary widely from person to person. While many people experience a gradual metallic slope, metabolic.
We get what you mean.
Thank you.
Yep.
Slow down in your 30s. It's not universal. And as for tapeworms, they usually come with more symptoms. It's unlikely you have one. See? You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. You're the best of all of us.
Yeah, you're going to live forever.
So I'm just a god among men.
Yes. If you're a parent and you're at one of your child's activities, and they are not actively on the field, they are not actively swinging a bat, they are not whatever, they're on the sidelines, they're backstage at a play, mm-hmm. they're not on, are you allowed to be on your phone? Are you allowed to be disengaged? Like, do you have to watch the other kids if your kid's not out there?
I mean, let's be fair. There are a lot of activities. I mean, plenty of so people, many. Their kids are in so many multiple activities. It's a lot every day, managing your own schedule and theirs. And sometimes you're not going to be paying full attention, I guess. But you should be, maybe.
Okay, so here's the issue that I'm having. And you can call 1-800-330-9999 because I'd love to hear what you think about this. Mm. My older daughter, Hayden, never said a word, never really cared about whether I was on my phone during the soccer games or anything like that. And it's funny because now she's in theater. She does stage crew for the play that they're doing right now. So she's like behind the scenes. So I said, I'm not coming to every show. I'm like, you're not even on the stage. Like, I gotta go there and watch you run around with a black hoodie backstage. Like, you know, when the lights go down so you can move a chair. Like, she doesn't care. She's like, Ma, just come to one so you can see the show. And I'm like, great. I'm like, you know, I'll volunteer and work the bake shop or whatever.
She's saying she doesn't care, but okay.
She doesn't
care. Let's hope she doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
What she tells
when
you.
When she's on stage, she knows that mommy's there, but okay. All right. But, like, growing up, all the activities she did, she never cared if I played around on my phone or whatever. My little one, my 5-year-old, is so in tune that she wants me to watch her every second of all her activities.
Right.
Her hip-hop class, her karate class, her field hockey thing. And swimming. So I was at swimming the other day. And, you know, it's swim practice. They're all in the pool.
Sure. There's
a million kids in the pool.
Right.
So she's got this thing where she'll look up and make eye contact with me.
Yeah.
And I have to give her a thumbs up, right? So I have to give her.
So she knows that you're in tune.
Like she is a little crazy person, you know? She is paying very close attention that mommy is only watching me the entire time. And here's the truth. Is, like, she's my younger daughter. And I realize now that she's the last of my first.
This is your shot to watch.
I don't need to be on Instagram or on TikTok. I need to be watching my child. So mm-hmm. I've become very in tune of, it's important to her. My eyes stay on her the whole time.
Right.
Even though it kills me sometimes. I just want to check my email. But I looked around the other day and I started noticing every other parent is on their phone.
Mm.
Right? And even then I go to field hockey this past Saturday and I'm looking around and every other parent is on their phone.
Yeah.
And I think, does it matter? Like, if your kid isn't actively at bat, and it's the other kids that are hitting and playing, and your kid is not right involved right at that moment, does it matter if you're on your phone or not? What do you think? Do you have to watch these other kids? 1-800-330-9999. Liam, what do you think?
So, my wife calls this the three-quarter rule. So I look around at the other parents. I got to make sure at least 3/4 of them are watching the game. It's always a game for me. My kid doesn't do plays. And if they are, then I'm happy to be on my phone. But if, like, everybody is already on their phone, then I'll be nice and I'll watch because I don't want it to be ridiculous.
That's how.
So for me, it depends.
It's like winning by other people failing.
If your child is not actively swinging the bat, so they're on the sidelines, or maybe if you're at a some kind of dance recital or you're on stage at a play, your kid isn't on stage, does it matter if you're on your phone? Can you be disengaged when your child is not actively participating in the sport or the activity that they're doing at that moment?
I mean, I think a lot would definitely depend on the child, right, and your understanding with that child. But, you know, to other parents, to other people out there and other children, you know, it's not like other children don't see the parents of everybody else out there.
But does it matter? Like, that's what we're trying to figure out, because my 5-year-old is very much where I have to watch her all the time. And she, like, has to get my eye contact and give me a thumbs up to make sure I'm watching. And if I'm not, I hear about it after. Mommy, you're on the phone. I saw you on your phone. I don't know why she's so obsessed with it, but okay. And the truth of the matter is that I love watching her now and knowing that she's my younger daughter and that this is my last time doing all these things.
Sure.
It's a little bit different.
Knowing that it's important to her as well.
Yeah. But I look around the stands or, the, you know, like wherever I am, and I realized all these parents are on their phones constantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not better than them because that was me literally for the last 15 years with my older daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is it okay if your child isn't actively swinging the bat or doing the thing? Is it all right if you're on your phone? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Danielle. How are you?
I'm good, Danielle. What do you think?
So I think there is a difference. I think if it's like a game, like a baseball, soccer, and your kid's not on that field, like go on Instagram away. If it's a recital or a play, you have to put the phone away because it's a formal show. I think that if it's a dance competition and your kid's not competing on stage, phone, you go ahead, go on your phone. But I have to say, this is my husband's pet peeve, and he will send me random screenshots of a room in the Taekwondo dojo, and everybody's looking down. So,
I mean, your husband pulled out his phone to take that photo. Just saying, but
that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, but and he's in the back row, so who knows if anybody got a photo of him doing the same thing? But you know what? At a karate dojo, it would be awesome if instead of breaking bricks or wood, they just all of a sudden lined up everybody's cell phones. It was like,
hike.
Yeah, right. Hike is football.
No, but Danielle, you're right. You're 100% right because we keep talking about kids being obsessed and addicted to their phones. Like we're not. Of course we are.
Just as bad, if not worse.
Exactly. Sure. There's nobody to regulate it for us because we're adults.
Hey, Bill, what do you think? Your kid's not actively at the plate. They're doing some sort of activity, but they're not swinging the bat right at that moment, whatever it may be. Can you be on your phone or no?
I think it's a shame that people are on their phones as much as they are.
Hmm.
My kids are already grown. My daughter didn't really play any much sports, especially when she got older. But my son was a very, very active baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And he played like through grades, right through college and everything. He's still playing today. And I went yesterday to watch him. He's coaching a freshman baseball team. I wouldn't think about pulling my phone out. I was rooting the team on and, you know, trying to help the kids in a little baseball knowledge that I know as they were playing. They're walking around, walking into telephone poles, walking into people on their phones, driving.
So you remember.
Driving on their phones.
But you know what? You have the advantage of remembering when there was no temptation. So you're just to be clear, you never left your son's younger baseball games to go answer a pager or anything like that, right?
No.
Beth, what do you think? Is it all right to be on your phone if your kid isn't actively playing?
I'm not saying you can't ever be on your phone, but as it relates to team sports, you know, I think if you're not supporting the entire team, we could be sending the wrong message that it's all about our own kid.
Mm.
And I think for kids to think it's all about them is a little risky.
So it's the Hayden versus Raven cake-off. Mm. My 15-year-old daughter, Hayden, challenged Raven to a cake-off because both of them feel that they are the superior cake bakers.
I mean, I just have to say that. Hayden's whole demeanor throughout this has been a little bit aggressive. I'm a little bit more relaxed in this. I like to find relaxation in my baking, but I'm glad that she's proud of her accomplishments.
Yeah. Hayden, I believe, told Raven on Friday that his baking is like school on a Sunday, no class. All right, so we have the judges here, producer John and producer Sean. Raven, what kind of cake did you make?
So I took it back to the first cake that I ever made that really was like, you know what? I like making cakes, and I've gone with the lemon cake in this. It's a very simple recipe. It's kind of like a Southern pound cake style of that. It should be moist and tangy. Mm. Fresh ingredients, Anna. That's the key.
We going for it? We doing this?
Yeah.
Sean's already eating. Sean's already eating.
All right.
I love that icing, man.
Okay, so
that's homemade icing. Thank you very much. It's all homemade.
I mean, Bud, you make a great cake.
Thank you. That's nice. I didn't refrigerate it this time. It's the one thing I did different. It got too dense last time, I think.
Hayden, while they're eating the lemon cake, I should let you know, has made cake pops. Her cake pops have been said to be better than Starbucks. And I want you to know that John ripped his right off the stick, Hayden, as I told you would happen here.
I mean, I would say that it fell off, so which kind of loses points for structural integrity. No offense, Hayden, but I'm just saying it feels like it fell.
So I got to tell you something, Hayden. As soon as I saw the bag come in with these, I got to tell you, I started sweating.
You have food in your mouth, Raven. Oh, don't talk good. When you have food in your mouth. It's disgusting.
That's real.
I got to try both, though.
All right, Hayden, what did you make? Go ahead.
I made chocolate cake pops with a chocolate covering, and then I made vanilla cake pops with a vanilla covering, and then I also made gluten-free, dairy-free cookies for you, Mom.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Which one is that?
You're welcome.
That's the vanilla with the vanilla topping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
There's more cake pops if you guys are interested. I have an entire bag of them here.
Raven, I am so sorry, man, but these cake pops are just too good. They just don't. The lemon cake does not compare. I'm sorry.
The lemon cake's great, though.
No, don't say this just because she's 15.
Did anybody in the room think that I was going to beat the 15-year-old teenage girl?
This is what I've got. I think the vanilla coating with the vanilla frosting
is top. And then I like the lemon cake, and then I like the chocolate one. The chocolate one's very good, but it's very rich. It's tough to, like, you know what I mean? The lemon one and the vanilla one let me keep going.
Hey, now I'm going to be real with you. I can eat 1,000 of these chocolate ones.
Oh, boy.
Well, we have 1,000 of them in that bag, so it's going to be a long day for Raven. All right, Hayden, how do you feel about what you put forth today in the competition?
I feel pretty good. I think I did pretty good work. I worked hard on those.
She's literally dedicated her entire Saturday to making them. She must, and she's going to bring them to her theater group tomorrow, too.
Yeah, my recipe is supposed to be 15-minute prep time, an hour total, like, cook time. It took me all day, too, but these cake pops are really, really good.
All right, so who's the ultimate winner in the Hayden versus Raven cake-off?
The best in show was definitely the vanilla cake pop.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I feel like we said this five times already.
All right, good.
You're just making me feel worse.
Congratulations, Hayden.
Thank you.
It's all over. The Justin Timberlake, Sag Harbor, DUI, Hampton's nightmare.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hampton's nightmare. I mean, he made a bad decision. He got pulled over. That's that.
So in case you missed it, Justin Timberlake was pulled over for the DUI in the Hamptons a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah.
This past Friday, he showed up in court where he pled guilty but to a reduced sentence. His attorney said the evidence revealed that my client finished the contents of one drink in 2 hours at the American Hotel. Contrary to what was reported, he wasn't drinking other people's drinks and he wasn't warned not to drive. He wasn't rude. He wasn't obnoxious. He wasn't belligerent. In fact, he was polite and he was cooperative and he was respectful during the entire encounter with law enforcement.
And he still failed a sobriety test. So, I mean, rightfully so. He was arrested and cited and so forth. I mean, plenty of people have a diversion program, so I'm not going to be mad at him for that. But, you know, clearly he was intoxicated one way or the other, no matter what else he might be on.
So he has to pay a $500 fine and a $260 surcharge. He has to complete 25 hours of community service at the nonprofit of his choice. He said that he'd be honored to do that. His license is suspended for 90 days. And one more thing that I thought was interesting, because I don't think the average person would ever get asked to do this.
What's up?
He had to make a public announcement about the dangers of drinking. He walked out of the courtroom, and this is what he said.
I try to hold myself to a very high standard, and this was not that. Even if you've had one drink, don't get behind the wheel of a car. This is a mistake that I made, but I'm hoping that whoever's watching and listening right now can learn from this mistake. I know that I certainly have.
This is actually common. This has been going on for decades.
With celebrities?
Yes. Yeah. They did this with plenty of people in the rock world. Bret Michaels had to do this. Vince Neil had to do this. Ozzy Osbourne did this. Plenty of people do that. Leif Garrett did it back in the day. All celebrities, a lot of them, they make them do this.
I don't know if it's fair. Like, it's nice for him. Absolutely. Everything he's saying is 100% true. There's no question about the message. Uh-huh. I just think it's a little bit, like, the average person wouldn't get asked to stand in front of a group of paparazzi and the public and make a statement like that.
I'm going
to
say that the average person would have actually paid more in fines than he did, too. So if you want to test it, you go out and you fail yourself a sobriety checkpoint there, Anna.
No.
Then we'll see what you pay.
I'm good with that.
And you can talk about, you know, Justin Timberlake's feelings and all that.
100%. That's not something I want to be a part of.
Right. It's a good message people should hear anyways.
Also trending, who's hanging out this weekend? Ben and J-Lo. I mean, what? So, like, sometimes I just want the news to stop reporting on them.
Yeah.
But I'm also fascinated by the train wreck that is all of it.
It's wild.
So they were at the Beverly Hills Hotel. They were with all their kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they sat at a table and their kids sat separately. To me, it would make sense if you're going to brunch with your family, you'd sit at the same table.
Sure.
Right? No, they sat separately. And then they were holding hands and kissing during the brunch. First of all, gross if you're the kids. You're like, oh my gosh, mom and dad are kissing again. Aren't they getting divorced? Didn't they file for divorce?
Didn't they just get divorced?
Right. And then guess who shows up at the end? Jennifer Garner.
Oh my gosh.
Like, give her a break. She's a saint.
She is.
Get her out of this. Like, she's like, what do I got to do to get away from this mass craziness that's going on?
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know what's happening, but that's what happened this past weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. Who is the worst driver you know, and do you get in the car with them regularly? You can call 1-800-330-9999. You know, well, I think as an adult, you don't get in the car with new people all that often.
No.
Right?
I mean, I think that we all prefer our own space. You prefer to be in control of your own schedule and so forth, right? And it's just more convenient. No matter the gas and all that, the carpooling, when you have to, you do.
Right.
But you don't want to.
It's true. It was so funny. This weekend, I went out with an old friend and her daughter, and my daughter went out, the four of us, and we were having such a blast, and she drove. And it's so funny because I've known her for years, but I don't think I've ever actually been in a car with her.
Yeah.
And so we get in, and you know when you're not used to somebody's driving style, and
yeah,
you're like,
totally.
Whoa, okay, like this is different.
Let me ask,
yeah,
were you verbal or were you keeping it to yourself?
Well, here's the question I have for you, Raven.
Yeah.
She kept going the long way to places.
One of those.
Now,
yeah.
On the way to where we were going,
yeah,
I didn't say a word.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe she knows a shortcut.
Right.
No.
And then you went to lunch and had a couple drinks.
No. It was just, you know, I didn't say a word. I didn't do anything completely normal. And then on the way home, I was like, you know what? Why don't you turn around? I'm going to tell you a faster way. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. And she did. And I gave her like the shortcut and like maybe she just didn't know it. But I think it's so funny. Like you grow up. You know, we both live in the same town. We both, like, know the same ways. And it was one of those things where, do you say, no, you're not going the right way?
Yeah.
Because my mom is one of those people that goes the long way. And it's easy when it's your mom.
Yeah.
Because you can be like, Ma, what are you doing? And then she'll, I don't like that street,
no
Anna.
No.
I don't like that street.
She doesn't like that street.
No, it's too windy. And then I'm like, all right, Ma. Like, okay,
so,
fine.
Let me get some more detail here. So your friend that's taking the long way that you're out with, does she say, well, I like this way? Does she say that this is the scenic route or we're going to take the long way?
No, she's normal.
So she's just unaware.
Yeah.
Did she not use GPS?
I guess not. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, it was one of those times where it was like, I realized, like, with the exception of my husband and like my best friends who I'm always with.
Sure.
Who have you ever in a car with new driving?
Right. Who's besides like a ride share.
Yes. And she's certainly not the worst driver by far, but it was interesting to be in that situation again.
Yeah.
Who is the worst driver you know, Raven?
My friend Paul, without a doubt. Paul probably went through, I think it was 5 cars in 1 year, like 7 and 9. Now, to be fair, Paul worked a lot of hours, but he would crash cars left and right and just go on with reckless abandon. That's the thing. Most people, when, you know, you run into them after and they crash a car or their car breaks down or whatever through lack of maintenance, they're like, oh, yeah. Won't do that again, that type of thing. Nope, Paul would do the same thing. Paul would do the same thing. He would get another car and be like, got a new car. Like it was nothing. I can't imagine what his insurance rates were. For a long time, he bought like 2 or 3 convertibles. And every time I would see him, he looked very joyous. But I thought to myself, never, ever, ever without a roof or without a seatbelt. If I'm riding with him, never, ever, ever.
Do they just take away your license? I don't know. Do they take away your license if you get too many crashes?
Regular accidents? Not really.
Really?
If it's not reckless, you know, like if you're not crazy at fault, no.
Hitting other cars is totally fine?
That's it. They'll just let you pay. It's like most things in America. If you get the money, you can keep on going.
It's a weird thing when you get in the car with somebody new and then you realize they're a terrible driver and you're kind of just holding yourself calm and trying to be as like, relaxed as possible, even though you're making a mental note, I'm never getting in the car with this person again.
It's a different type of frustration and a different type of tension than it is, like, say, when you're driving with your partner.
Right.
Right? Because you're used to that, even though it drives you insane sometimes.
Who is the worst driver you know, and do you get in the car with them? 1-800-330-9999. Barbara.
One of my husband's friends who actually had been a race car driver.
Oh.
He drove us to a concert, and he drove us on the highway like he was in a race. Pulled right up to the bumper of the car in front of us, and he would tell us, now this guy's going to move to the left, this guy's going to move to the right, and just tailgated and sped the whole way to this concert. I was scared.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, when you get the stunt driver, like, you know, I met a bunch of guys that I used to ride motorcycles with, and I met them because I was at a house, and I watched one of them pull up to a light and then pull off. And they pulled up in an endo, and that's where you bring the butt end of the bike up, and then they took off in a wheelie, and I was like, okay, that's a little something. Saw them at the store after the entire bike was held together by tie straps.
Wow.
Like those zip tie things. I was like, okay, that says a lot right there.
When you're in a speeding car with somebody that thinks like they know what they're doing, it's a wide-eyed experience. Have you ever been in a cop car when it was racing and going fast?
No.
I have. So it's kind of a sad story, but my mom was in an ambulance and we needed a police escort to get to the hospital as fast as possible. And I was in the car with the cop. And it was one of those things where you're terrified because of what's happening medically.
They move, right.
But, oh my gosh,
yes.
I was like, whoo!
Yeah.
I'm like, if I wasn't in a cop car right now, I don't know how I would feel about this situation.
Yeah. Mom's okay. Everybody's all right.
Everybody's fine. Right. Everybody's fine.
And you made it to the concert and back.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Barbara.
Kim, worst driver you know.
It's my cousin Linda. I've never known anybody who had so many curves just jump out.
Oh.
She's like, her rims, if you look at her rims, her nickname is the Rim Reaper.
Yeah. At this point in my life, I have also become your cousin.
Wait, Kim, you know what Linda and Raven have in common? Raven went on the air, and I kid you not, try to normalize hitting curbs.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's not a real thing.
Yeah,
they're
like bumpers.
No, we're not going to tell people that curbs are like bumpers.
Yeah.
You do not hit curbs when you drive the car.
Oh, I've been hitting them lately. Yeah. always my tail end when I'm taking a turn all the time.
Raven's actually a terrible driver. You know, we didn't even discuss
what?
That. You're a bad driver.
Eli, worst driver you know.
Oh, man, it's got to be my mom. 100%. She has this thing where she hears someone else like sort of talk about something and she thinks she's done that thing too. So a friend of her did like one of those defensive driving courses, you know, like they teach you how to drive safe, and she talked to her and now she thinks she's a defensive driver, but she's never done the course.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
So she gives way to everybody. And the people go, oh, that's safe. But it's like, it confuses everybody. Like at four ways, she's like, you know, sitting there.
Oh, she keeps
going,
waving
all this,
people.
And people kind of wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's waving people through and everyone's kind of confused. And then she'll suddenly kind of go. It's terrifying. And she talks like all the time and turns.
I don't even know the last time I was in a car with my mom where she was driving. I feel like the minute I got my license, I just became the designated driver with my mom.
Well, I can't drive with the person that's always giving way to people that don't actually have that position. Like, the whole point is of yielding, merging, all that. There's an order to things.
Yeah.
If you're the person that's always trying to wave somebody ahead, you're not polite. Get out of the way. You're endangering us all. Thank you.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Evan and Tiffany. Tiffany, how long have you guys been dating?
So we've been dating for about 2 years, I want to say. 2 years. It's been good.
All right. And you guys are getting ready to move in together. That's good news.
Well, so I was engaged before our relationship, and I think this is so silly, but I got these plates as a gift. It was an engagement gift from my parents. They're gorgeous plates and silverware. And no, I didn't have the wedding, but I still kept the gifts, of course. And I'd like to use them in my new home because they're perfectly good plates and silverware. And he thinks it's weird. My partner thinks it's weird for some reason.
Evan, what's your side of this?
It's 100% weird. I mean, I don't have a problem that Tiff was engaged before. I mean, it happens. But, you know, these are gifts that her parents got her that were designed to celebrate a marriage to somebody else that didn't happen. So, like, every time I see these plates, like, I don't know about Tiff, but for me, it's like a reminder of like, another relationship. So it's just super weird.
But what am I supposed to do with them?
We can take it to Goodwill. We can go buy some, you know, new plates.
But I don't know. Like, I don't, it's not like I think about, like, where they came from, but barely. It's been years at this point. They're just a good set of plates and silverware. I don't see anything wrong with it. If my parents bought a new set that was the exact same set, would you care?
I mean, it's kind of the principle of the thing. Babe, you know that I had a relationship with a girl that like, collected all of her ex-boyfriend's sweatshirts. So this kind of feels like the same thing to me. I mean, it's like, it's a plate, but it symbolizes something else. It symbolizes a past relationship.
But you don't eat on the sweatshirt. You know what I mean? Like, it's
well,
not
I mean,
a
but it's
practical.
A trigger. In the end, that's what he's saying. It's a trigger. Let's say that you had gone, Tiffany, through the trouble of picking out these plates, this silverware, all that, right? And you already knew that you wanted it, but you hadn't actually placed the order and it hadn't happened. Look at it like this. If you and Evan started dating and you said to him, hey, I know the perfect silverware and plate place because I had already picked out the stuff. We can go there and check it out. He'd be like, no, we're going to a different place. And you would understand that because you started that whole journey with somebody else. Same time, you ain't going to get nothing for that flatware. You ain't getting nothing for those plates. So you might as well use them, I guess, right?
I mean, you're just contradicting yourself, and I'm confused, too.
I'm just saying is, like, I see both sides of this.
They're plates. Were they expensive, Tiffany?
They're pretty expensive. Like, it was, like, you know, historically in my family, when someone gets married, the parents gift, like, a really nice, like, china silverware plate set that, like... It's up there in price.
The fact that it's a thing in your family would make it worse for me. So you're pushing me over to Evan.
Oh, I just think that they're plates. You have really good plates, and you're moving in together trying to save money. Just use your plates. But, you know, let's see what the audience has to say. Is it a problem to use items that were purchased for a marriage that didn't happen when you're in a new relationship?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Evan and Tiffany have been dating for a long time and they're moving in together, which is great. The only issue is Tiffany says, well, you know, we're moving into this new place. Let's save money. I have these beautiful plates and silverware that my parents had got me. The issue is, though, is that her parents got them for her because she was engaged and they were part of like a wedding gift. And now Tiffany's just been using them for years after the engagement has been over. And they were expensive, so she wants to keep them, and she likes them. But Evan is not on board.
Yeah, Evan's like, no, it's time for new plates. This was bought with the intent for somebody else to use, you know, in your home together. And I kind of understand that. I mean, it sounds a little bit ridiculous. Listen, if you've been over there and you've been eating on these plates before, it seems like a strange time for you to go ahead and put a line in the sand. But if you're thinking, like, this is the beginning of our next chapter together... I think she kind of has to listen to his feelings.
1-800-330-9999. Patty, whose side are you on?
You know, it's a plate and fork. I can understand if it was a bed, but a plate and fork, keep the plate and fork. But if it's really, really that upset, I don't know. It's kind of hard, but I don't know. I'd keep it.
Thanks, Patty.
I mean, there's always silly little triggers around you every day, right? Things that come up in conversation that you know were part of somebody else's relationship. And most of the time, we just absorb it. We say, okay, I can't be petty about this. But every time it comes up, it does trigger something in your mind.
Like, what if every time he uses that fork, he wonders, was this the fork that was in his mouth? You know? Sometimes when I go to restaurants, I think about how many times that silverware has been in somebody's mouth, and I get grossed out of nowhere.
I wouldn't do that to yourself.
No. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Evan and Tiffany are moving in together after dating for a few years, and everything is great, except for one thing. Tiffany was previously engaged years ago, and her parents had gifted her and her fiancé beautiful silverware and plates. They were very expensive. Now that that engagement is over and they've moved forward, Evan and Tiffany are moving into their new place, and Tiffany would like to use those plates.
Evan says they're cursed. They're somebody else's plates. They were meant for you and another man to enjoy in your house. And you know what? If we're cohabitating... I don't want them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to be using them.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Michael.
This guy has issues, and she should definitely think about moving in with him if this is a concern over plates and silverware.
So it wouldn't bother you at all is what you're saying. Give me the plates.
It's a plate. It's not that she slept with the plates.
I hope
they're
not.
Just plates that would parents gave him, no less. Not right. Even his side of the family.
Right.
If they were his parents that gave him, then I'd say he's got a point. But her parents gave them to him, and they're plates. It's not a sweatshirt. It's not pants. It's not jewelry. He needs to, you know, get his head together and realize they're plates and silverware. Get over it.
Hey, Jen, what do you think? Whose side do you want?
I agree with Evan. He's being vulnerable and he's uncomfortable with it, and they're just stupid plates. So, you know, save his feelings and do the right thing.
So funny what the flip side of that coin is, right? Right. She's like, what's the big deal? They're just plates. Get rid of them.
Hey, Adam, what do you think?
I think a plate is replaceable. A person is not.
Right, so ditch them plates and look out for your man, Evan.
Exactly.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tiffany, our audience agreed with you today. They're plates and they're forks and they cost a lot of money and they're good quality. Evan, obviously, she got rid of him. She's keeping you and she's going to keep those plates and those forks too.
I mean, I'm going to
think about that other relationship every time we're having dinner, but I mean, I'm just going to have to get used to it, I guess.
You know what? You can also hit up her parents for new plateware and silverware should things turn serious for you guys. When you get engaged, be like, yeah, that was good for the first few years, but it's not going to work now.
Babe, I'm just saying, hey. I love you. I love you so much. The plates don't mean anything sentimental to me. They're not a sentimental gift, except that they're from my parents. That's all I'm saying.
All right, babe. I guess, you know, just give me some time. I'll try to work through it or something.
All right.
Thank you.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $300 thanks to Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. All right, Wendy, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
You have your whole family there with you?
Yep.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Please leave the room, Raven.
You got it. Good luck, Wendy.
Thanks.
Okay. Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He can't hear us. It's soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same question. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Ready.
All right, let's do this. Number one, award-winning author Isabel Allende received the Barbie treatment, becoming the next doll in the company's Inspiring Women collection. Barbie is manufactured by what American toy company?
Mattel.
Number two, people are upset because they think a new statue of Queen Elizabeth created in Northern Ireland looks like Mrs. Doubtfire. What late actor portrayed Mrs. Doubtfire?
What's his name? Robbins.
That's time. Number three, Prince Harry turned 40 over the weekend, and for the first time in years, the royal family officially wished him a happy birthday. What's the last name that he's currently using, and so are his children?
Albert David?
Number four, Emmys were last night, and they were hosted by what father-son duo?
I know this. I know it, but I don't. I can't come up with it.
And number five, Perry Farrell and guitarist Dave Navarro got into a fist fight while on stage performing at one of their concerts. They're currently on tour with what band?
Pearl Jam.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yeah.
All right, Wendy only got one right.
Wow, Wendy, the whole family? That's not good. Let's see how I do.
Not good.
Number one. Award-winning author Isabel Allende received the Barbie treatment, becoming the next doll in the company's Inspiring Women collection.
That's cool.
Barbie's manufactured by what American toy company?
Mattel.
That's right. Number two, people are upset because they think a new statue of Queen Elizabeth created in Northern Ireland looks like Mrs. Doubtfire. What late actor portrayed Mrs. Doubtfire?
Robin Williams. Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, the statue's not good. I mean, they nailed the dogs. Yeah. The dogs look like corgis. But her, not great.
Man.
Number three, Prince Harry turned 40 over the weekend. For the first time in years, the royal family officially wished him a happy birthday on social media.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
What's the last name that he's currently using, and so are his children?
The way it works is he's got to be Sussex, right?
Yeah, Sussex is correct.
Yeah.
Number four, Emmys were last night, and they were hosted by what father-son duo?
Eugene and Dan Levy.
Right. And number five, Perry Farrell and guitarist Dave Navarro got into a fist fight while on stage performing at one of their concerts.
I know, what a mess. These guys are a mess.
Like, they're in their 60s.
They should just not be doing this. Honestly.
What's the name of the band that they're currently on tour with?
That's Jane's Addiction.
Yep. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry, Wendy. He ended up beating you 5-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right, thank you. This is Wendy and my family, and we obviously cannot be late.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt you guys have to fight over it. $400 tomorrow, Anna.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.